May the words I speak, may the thoughts we think, and may the deeds which come from them be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, it seems it's probably about 5 years ago that I went through a period when I seemed to be on so many different diocesan boards that it sometimes felt I was spending more time in Exeter, my last diocese, in the city of Exeter, than I was in my own parishes. And it was through one of the contacts there that I got invited to a kind of a practice group that somebody from Exeter University was setting up as part of their research to help parents of kids who were troublesome. Not my own kids, he says. Touch wood and all the rest. And it was basically, it was a short course on mindfulness. Now, you might have heard of mindfulness. It's a method of meditation that has become very popular in recent years. There are plenty of books about it, plenty of podcasts about it, plenty of courses have been designed and marketed to help those who want to deal with issues of anxiety and stress and to relax and unwind. Because ours is a noisy world. I don't know if you've seen it, but I can recommend to you one of the online or streamed TV programs called The Good Place. It posits an idea of what happens to us when we die. And it raises the issue towards the end of the last series that fewer and fewer people are getting into heaven. In fact, no one's getting into heaven. For some, this is a problem. And they ask why. And the response is because our world has become such a noisy and busy place. It's now next to impossible for people to do the good they need to earn their place there. Now, that's not a particularly Christian theology, and I would say that's not how we qualify to get into heaven. But the idea that our world has become busier and noisier with so many more distractions, I think is very true. And mindfulness has become a popular tool that helps come to the rescue of those of us caught up in all that. And the essence is the phrase being present in the moment. Whatever you're doing, the idea is to try and develop a stillness, a calmness of mind that neither regrets the past nor worries about the future, but concentrates intently and intentionally on whatever you're doing at the time. So it might be that if you're eating, you take time to chew your food more slowly, noticing and savoring all the textures and flavors, making the experience richer and more intense. If walking, you might make more of an effort to pause and notice the depth of color, of shape and texture in the environment around you. And it works. Such moments not only seem to stop time, but can produce a sense of calm. So this Advent, with our sights set on Christmas and all the pressure to be ready for the big day, we might think that taking a bit more time to be present in the moment is needed more than ever if we are to experience anything that even has a semblance of peace. But today's gospel doesn't tell us just to stay in the present. It instructs us to look further ahead, beyond the manger, towards a second time when Christ will come, a time for which we still wait. And rather than calming us, this second coming of Christ sounds a little bit terrifying. The sun, moon, and stars will do strange things in the sky. The Son of Man will descend in a cloud. People will faint from fear. It sounds apocalyptic, and it is. If we'd used today's Old Testament reading, we'd have heard the prophet Jeremiah speaking of justice and righteousness when he talks of these end times. Paul, who writes a moving letter to the Thessalonian Christians, wondering when Jesus will return and starting to lose their faith because he hasn't, he takes a different tone. He prays that God will strengthen their hearts in holiness, that they will abound for love of one another and of everyone. If they do this, excuse me, they will be blameless before God when Christ comes. And if we take a closer reading of today's gospel, the coming of the Son of Man, albeit with all its attendant spectacle, it isn't something to be feared. Because it's not only judgment, but also redemption that approaches, and the two cannot be separated. God in Jesus comes to fulfill our salvation. And that should be good news for all of us. The coming of Jesus at Christmas is an invitation to join God's plan for all of humanity. And today's readings remind us that although we are incarnate, unlike the Christ child, mortal, as Christians we believe that there is something beyond this world. That we are made somehow, we may not understand how and the details of it, but to live in God's presence forever. As such, Luke exhorts us not to allow our hearts to be weighed down with the worries of this life, but to set our hearts on a higher purpose. Mindfulness can certainly help us to take a moment to refocus, and its strength undoubtedly lies in helping us to keep all life's problems in some kind of perspective. But it is only temporary relief. On this course I went on these years ago, the person leading it and facilitating it was intrigued to learn that I was a vicar. His spirituality was more Buddhist. And he hadn't realized that this quiet of reflection that we might call mindfulness is found in all faiths and certainly in the Christian tradition. We might call it contemplative prayer. And mindfulness, it seemed to me, is simply a repackaged and rebranded form, using many of the same techniques, but with the dimension of being directed to ourselves. Whereas contemplative prayer doesn't stop at ourselves, but looks towards God, the source of all peace. So as we begin a new liturgical year, as we begin a new season, as we begin to move towards Christmas, let us keep one eye on the coming of the Christ child and let us prepare well. Let us also look to the future when Christ will come to fulfill redemption. And as we meditate on this, may it be a reminder not only of our immortal souls, but also amid all the hustle and bustle of Christmas preparations, that we might be mindful to practice love for everyone around us, that we may, through that, increase in holiness and be righteous before God, our judge and our redeemer. Amen.